Thank you. I was pretty pleased it wasn't, 100 people here today. I must remember that next time. I'll pray for that next time. So, I'm a compulsive eater and gratefully in recovery today. Thank you, God. Thank you, higher power, who I choose to call God. I still consider myself a newcomer. I learn something new every single day, whether it's in a meeting or just in everyday life. I learn something new. And I'm so grateful for that. And so I'd really love to welcome any newcomers. And just pause for a moment, be still, and thank God, really. Thank God for this sacred space, with these beautiful fellows. A place where I've learnt, I haven't got tissues with me. Place where I've learnt the scarf, the Irish scarf might have to suffice. A place where I've really learnt how to surrender, and a place where I've really learnt how to live and love. And I pray that today that, someone feels a little bit of hope, if not in my share, in the shares that follow, a little bit of hope and some of the promises, because wow, they're amazing. Thank you, God. I can only see now in recovery that I was addicted to food. I had no notion of addiction. I actually thought I loved food. I didn't even really know that I was numbing everything with food. I just didn't have any concept really. My mum used to tell a joke about as a 2-year-old, I'd binged on this cooking ingredient at Christmas and made myself violently ill. And I've not been able to eat it for the next 60 years. So I guess there was really early signs. The earliest I remember is as an 8-year-old, sneaking out into the kitchen and raiding the pantry or the kitchen, the fridge. Usually the fridge for the pudding, and I would gouge my hand into it, into my mouth, and I'd line it all up again so no one would know. And then I'd just have a bit more, gouge, line it up. Often there was just this tiny thin strip left, and I was lucky really because my family are very inattentive because of their own addictions, drinking and drugs and food. So, if they asked in the morning who'd eaten the pudding, I just wasn't me. So maybe that's how much we ate last night. And I got away with it for so long. I stole money when I was buying mum's over-the-counter drugs to mix with her sherries and brandies. I was binging on what in Australia we call lollies. I think the UK has called them sweets and the US call them candy. I think that's what it is anyway. I would binge on that while I was walking home with her stuff. Home wasn't a safe place, and I won't go into it in any detail because I've really come to a place of forgiveness around it all. They were sick people, as I am. But there was, mum was a practicing Christian, dad an atheist. Very messy drinkers, mental health. Mum was suicidal on and off. I found her twice lying with her head in the gas oven when I got home from school. Dad also mental health. Amphetamines to keep himself awake. He was a workaholic. And when they were drunk and drugged, family violence was huge. And they also didn't protect me. Certainly for the from the age of 3 to 8, when they allowed a visitor to keep coming back and abusing me. I didn't have a weight problem as a child or a teenager. I played lots of sport. As a 5-year-old, I was swimming laps at the local pool before daybreak and at sunset. And it wasn't about keeping the weight off. It was an escape from home. And I thought if I excelled and there was lots of applause, we were safer. Which was crap. It wasn't the case, but that's what I was, felt I had to do. The lies really started at a very young age. I'd lie about my grades. I was really good academically, but I wasn't the best. So I would lie that I'd topped the class. I'd lie that I'd shot the most baskets, again, thinking we'd be safe. Started Weight Watchers as a 15-year-old, I think 15, I was trying to recall this morning. 15-year-old taking masses of laxatives the 2 days before weighing and binging the other 5 days of the week, along with mum. Mum really, it was, I don't know whether it was her suggestion, but that's what we did. Dad was obsessed. We were at healthy weight. We were healthy people. But he was obsessed with wanting us skinny. His sister was morbidly obese. And I've lost hundreds and hundreds of pounds, I think, through Weight Watchers, 50 years. I just forgive myself for what I've done to my poor body. Left home, went nursing, and part of the pay was to get three buffet meals a day. Whew, just what a compulsive eater needed, three buffet meals a day. And I got my money's worth well and truly. I then moved into a house with some friends in the city, and it was the wild 70s. I was rebellious. I broke into homes, neighbours' homes, and stole food when they were away. Now I know I was numbing pain. Then it was just my life. I was a druggie. I was an addict. I always believed I'd kick it. I always believed I'd kick it. I'd put down alcohol and drugs, both at a point of near death. And I just always thought, and now I know it was the grace of God that helped me put those down. I didn't know it then. But 60 years of binge eating, yeah. I was at death's door when I came in April 2022. I could barely breathe. I could walk, barely walk. I was deeply depressed. I'd left my job, retired. And I was at a place of just wanting to die. I didn't want any life. I had no purpose and no meaning in life. I had just no desire. But the first miracle happened on the Monday before Easter. I'd had an EMDR session with my psychologist friend who was really worried about me. And she said, "Can I invite God in?" And I went, "Do whatever, do whatever." And she did that on the Friday, and the Monday before Easter, I woke up and decided to nourish myself that day and did that for a week right through Easter. I don't give up anything before Easter, Christmas, birthdays, holidays. Well, holidays I do. I start to look as good as I can. And I came into my first meeting on Monday, the 8th of April. And unbelievably, came into three that week. What a miracle. Oh, Googled, just Googled and found, don't know what I was Googling, and found OA and came in, did three meetings, didn't connect, didn't feel any connection, didn't know what was going on, couldn't relate to anything really that was being said. I didn't hear anything. But the second miracle was nourishing myself that week through Easter. And coming into my fourth meeting on Easter Monday and hearing that I had a disease, that it wasn't my fault, hearing solutions, hearing recovery, hearing love. I was captivated and I just so knew that this solution could be mine. I think I took step one that day, and I'm just going to read something from one of the pages in the big book. Yeah, I love the big book. Hated it, hated it. If my sponsor's here, she'll remember the fights about the big book. I was a real alcoholic. I was far advanced. There is a scant chance of success. We're assuming the reader desired to stop. I did. Whether such a person can quit upon a non-spiritual basis depends upon the extent to which he has already lost the power to choose whether he will drink or not. Whew. There was a tremendous, tremendous desire to cease forever. We found, even though there was, yet we found it still impossible. This is the baffling feature of alcoholism as we know it. The inability to leave it alone, no matter what the consequences. And that was me. I just, thank you, Emily. And that was definitely me. I couldn't do it. Wasn't my fault. Step two and three, finding God. I dabbled with God as a 3-year-old. I wanted my baby brother to be called Jesus. Mum was a practicing Christian and teaching Sunday school, so very disappointed that that didn't happen. Dad was an atheist, so I had that real mix. I dabbled with drugs, dabbled with with religion or spirituality in the 70s when I was in the drugs. And then over 30 years ago, my 12-year-old told me just before she died, tragically, that I said, "I love you." She said, "You'd love me more if you loved God first." And I just thought, what rot, what rot. But she planted the seed. You know, at that time, I was homicidal and suicidal. I couldn't see how I could leave a 6-year-old take my life, leave a 6-year-old. His father was gone, his sister was dead, and his mother was going to take his life. So it was God back then. Now I know. 2022 was the biggest miracle. That was when I came in to that fourth meeting, and I pictured I'd always had this big meter wide medieval castle door with all these massive padlocks on it to keep this God thing out. And that day I took the locks off and I just sort of pushed the door a little bit, and in came God. Whew, what a miracle that was. And the first 10 months I was retired. So I just did program. That's all I did. Five, six, seven meetings a day, however many I could stay awake through. I journaled. I binged on voice notes. I spent the first month off camera, off camera, crying, sobbing, gratitude tears, grateful for this sponsor who was not who I wanted. I didn't want her. She didn't fit any of my criteria. Oh, she made me laugh and she held me and she loved me. And she just saved my life. And the fellowship. And, you know, I think about some of the ones. There's one here today, two, a couple here today that I've met and hugged in England. You know, one of them experienced with me a beautiful moment in Wells Cathedral, where I met my daughter's spirit. God has matched me with my fellows, my angels. Whew. So what happened? Yeah, okay. I'm just going to mention step four because I didn't realize there was a word personal in it. I thought I was just inventory. Everyone had ever harmed me. And all of a sudden I could see my part. So in seeing my part and coming to forgive myself, I came to forgive my parents. They were sick. They was as sick as I was. We're all sick. And my sponsor still loved me after I shared everything. And some of it was pretty morbid, massive stuff. Step six was huge. I had to drop the ego. I had to drop the controlling. But it comes back. If I get time, I'll tell you about the week just gone where it just grew like a giant again. I loved becoming teachable, grateful. I loved, loved, loved learning how to love again, and the freedom that came with step nine, and all my amends so far have been met with love and forgiveness mostly. But the freedom with it has been amazing. And I think for me, I live in step 11. Oh, if I live in step 11, I'm giving service. I'm not creating resentments. I'm not harming people. So step 11 is it, and of course all the other steps. I love them all. What's it like now? Well, my heaviest weight, I was 170 kilos. I don't know what that is in pounds. I came in at 145 kilos. Yeah, which is, I think we worked it out, 320 pound. So I'm 100 pounds plus pounder, and still lots to go. My food's nourishing. I eat two meals a day and two snacks a day. good clean food. In 2024, I had a stroke, and it was the blessing of blessings. I then followed it up with a bout of RSV, which brought about an enlarged heart. Of course, I have an enlarged heart. I've got so much love for people all over the world, and now heart failure. So, everything slowed to a snail pace. But I know if I focus on the program and focus on God, and as an atheist all my life, or most of my life, it's incredible that I say those words, but that's what I do. Focus on program and God and lose the weight. Focus on the weight and I lose the program and God. I'm grateful to be alive and living. The doctors say that if I'd had the stroke and I really dodged a bullet, it was by the grace of God that I was saved. Say that if I was that 100+ pound heavier, I probably wouldn't have survived. I love acronyms and I love visuals. I need visuals. So I've got the God ring. I've got the frog. I wear a frog everywhere but bed. But I have frogs everywhere too, like big frogs in the fridge, in my desk, on my coffee table, on the decking outside. They're everywhere. Frog, fully and forever reliant on God. I love that acronym. The most profound learnings and a beautiful angel really brought so much to me in that time. She read my daily readings for 5 or 6 months to me while I just spent time with God. Bill says, page 16. No, I've got it written down, I think. Yes, I have. Bill says, "Vast, it's a vast amount of fun about
Minutes.
it all." Thank you. I travelled to the UK and I hugged people in this very room in the UK. I danced with them, I sang with them, I laughed and cried with them. It was divine. But he also says, "We've got to be deadly earnest. Faith has to work 24/7 through us or we perish." My family, wow, my family, I can feel and give the love. Never felt before, never ever felt before. They've moved in since the stroke and there's challenges, lots, but there's acceptance and they're staying in my own lane. I have the dream job, dream boss, dream team. Just blessed, blessed, blessed. And my sponsees, oh my God. I spoke to an angel and one of my angels and one of my angel sponsees. The end of last week and my really heavy, heavy week, and they both held space and understood me and brought me to a place of remembering God's in amongst this. Where's God? Where's God? Where's God? I love my sponsees. I just want to read, yeah, I'll finish with this. I just want to read my favorite little excerpt in the book, the big book, which I hated and love. Yet much more had also happened. Every loss had been replaced with rewards. I had seen the promises of the big book come true in magnitude, in a magnitude I could never have imagined. I'd gotten sober, I'd regained my family. Whew. We were once again close and loving. I'd learned how to use the 12 steps. And to live the wonderful program that was founded so many years ago by two drunks. It took several years, but I learned to be grateful for my alcoholism and the program of recovery it forced me into for all the things that had happened to me and for me, for a lot, and for me, for a life today that transcends and far exceeds anything I'd previously known. I could not have that today if I'd not experienced all the yesterdays. And down further, I take little credit for all that happened. I suited and showed up at the process of OA, AA, sorry, but
Time to
OA.
wander, 30 seconds.
Thank you. The grace of a loving God and the help of so many around me have been far more responsible for all the events in my life. It's such a blessing to be here today and it hasn't been perfect. It hasn't been perfect. As I said, I had a very lively week last week where I was going to relapse just so I didn't have to come here. So I was, because I was so angry about what was going on in my life. So
Time.
fearful. Thank you. Thank you, Emily. I've just finished on this. And I had a whole 4 or 5 days of that where I just ruminated. I just couldn't. I Googled all through the night. I didn't sleep. The food was not an issue, but it would have been the next step. It absolutely would have been the next step. So blessed to be here most mornings of the week. So blessed to be in the UK most afternoons. And I love you all. Blessed to be here. You're all blessed. Love you.